And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Short, serving the government marketplace and the 2004 winner of the Government Computer News Best New Technology Award. After founding his own technology firm, Anthony completed his formal education with a master's degree in business administration, concentrating in information technology. Anthony is the author of two books, The Invisible Enemy, Black Fox, and The Invisible Enemy 2, Vendetta. Welcome to the show, Anthony. How are you today?
Doing great, Billy. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to have you on board because I'm intrigued by this whole thought of espionage and frankly, the way in which we got to Osama bin Laden. We'll come to that in a minute. But this wasn't when you were first thrust into the national spotlight. You were thrust into the national spotlight when the Russian spy ring was uncovered here in the United States late last year. And it was uncanny that before the capture of the Russian spies, your book, The Invisible Enemy, outlined the operations in amazing detail. I mean, the countries were the same, the description of the people were very similar. Even the encryption protocols that they used were very similar to what you had in your book. Did you have any advanced insight into the operation, or was just this some amazing coincidence?
Definitely good reason to be amazed, Billy. When you really understand the technology that's out there that's being used and the innovation, the growth and the change, there just aren't too many surprises. So I can't talk about everything, but I can say is, you know, the way that spies are recruited and trained has changed, you know, over the past decade, right? So similar technology and ways of getting information that weren't available 10 years ago are available now, and that's how we got to Osama bin Laden. So it's not just simple technology that folks that's out on the civilian market anymore. There's a lot of collaboration that's going on now that helps us to unroot spies, helps us to achieve goals like the bringing down Osama bin Laden.
Well, now, Anthony, tell us about how you came to have all of this knowledge about the surveillance techniques and so forth that you write about in your book, The Invisible Enemy.
So I have a deep background with the Department of Defense and technology. And as you mentioned, currently I'm an advanced systems consultant. What that means is I help our government innovate, grow and change through technology to save American lives. So I've worked on projects for Desert Storm and quite a few other projects worldwide that have saved American lives. And you mentioned some of the awards and case studies. But in simple terms, I've done a lot of sizable work for the U.S. Defense Sector, Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security. I even relocated to Amsterdam for Amsterdam, the Netherlands, more than a year to solve issues for American-based companies. So in addition to years of research and personal interviews I've done, I really didn't get my information from an encyclopedia. I got it from job experience. So a lot of things in the book are personal experiences of, for instance, there's a scene in there of how one spy got into the Russian embassy, and that's how I got into the Russian embassy. So a lot of that is pulled from personal experience and technology that I work with every day, and some of it's pulled from just years of interviews.
Okay, we're talking to Anthony R. Howard, author of the book, The Invisible Enemy, Black Fox. And Anthony, your book is really incredible. It's been compared by some to the TV hit series 24. Is that accurate? Is that an accurate representation? Do you agree with the people who say your book and your writing style is very much like 24?
I think, first of all, it's a compliment. 24 is a super show. To be compared to them is a really great thing. I think it's similar and it's different. It's similar as I keep the readers engaged, just like 24 does. It's an adrenaline rush show, very little downtime, bang, bang, you know, not a whole lot of fluff, if you will. It's really hard-hitting, really action, really fast-paced. Definitely not a whole lot of boring stuff in there, as I like to call it. But on the other hand, I feel my work is really different because I don't conform to Hollywood rules, right? Hollywood has different rules they must follow in order to create a project. For instance, in Hollywood, they generally don't take time to explain how real Department of Defense technology works. It's very complex in some cases. Many TV watchers would get lost, so in turn, Hollywood makes up completely fake technologies and false terms that don't make any sense. And I don't do that. I explain the technology in a way that everyone can understand and enjoy. Hollywood also has to follow something called, I call it bounded rationality, which means the human mind can only process what it understands. So if there's a technology that you're not familiar with, you likely won't follow what's going on. But in real world, just because a country doesn't understand or does not have a technology does not make that technology unreal. Another way is that I'm different is every episode, our hero, Jack Bauer, the readers know he is going to live to the next episode. He is not going to die. Everyone knows that. We just enjoy seeing him escape peril and take down the bad guys who have, you know, 100 AK-47s against his lone pistol, and he has perfect aim in all situations. I don't do that. You know, in real life, heroes die. In real life, you know, people you care about, people who are sent in harm's way, they don't always come back. The medals go to their family. So my book takes a more real look at what's really going on. So instead of introducing fictional organizations like CTU, I introduce real organizations that do exist, but no one has ever heard of because the organizations were extremely classified for so long. Hollywood doesn't show these entities for a variety of reasons, one of them being it would take way too long to explain the organization, its function, its politics, and why it exists. But, you know, I show the reader these things through the plot. So I'm the same. It's an honor to be compared to them, but the book is very different. It's real. It's what's going on now with the capture of Osama bin Laden, with the capture of the spies, the Russian spies that were caught by the FBI. It brings it home.
We're talking to Anthony R. Howard. And, Anthony, you brought up the Osama bin Laden. That has got to be espionage's crowning achievement of the decade of the 2010s so far, that we were able to locate and eliminate Osama bin Laden last week. And, you know, how did we go in a period of 10 years, how did we go as a United States intelligence community from not knowing about the terrorist attack of 9/11 in 2001 to the assassination of Osama bin Laden 10 years later? What is the progression of spying and surveillance technology that allowed us to do that?
I'll say the key thing was collaboration. Before that, a lot of different entities that were protecting us were not necessarily collaborating. Right now, through technology and innovation, there's a lot of that going on. The second thing, and I wonder why the media does not talk about this, is the use of technology in the capture of Osama bin Laden. It had a huge role. So, for instance, one of the key giveaways of how we located Osama bin Laden was technology, or more accurately, the absence of technology. So we fingered one of bin Laden's couriers, people who bring his message back and forth, because he, you know, bin Laden, he's not on email and cell phones, and he was... The compound was traced, excuse me, he was traced back to Pakistan, and then the compound was found. And one of the key things that made this compound in Pakistan suspicious was it was a compound valued at about $1 million, which for that, it's a lot, huge compound, even though it looked kind of raggedy on TV. That's a pretty luxurious compound.
Yes, it is.
But, however, there was no internet and no phone. So that was a huge giveaway in itself. You have $1 million compound and it was guarded, but there's no internet and no phone. So that's the first. That was the first giveaway. And then we have, right, the detainees and the human element, right. And then, obviously, we use the satellite surveillance and the facial recognition, the same items that are used in some airports. So through those three, we've come a long way since September 11th. And it's a good thing, proud moment. I know a lot of Americans are relieved, and through innovation, growth, and change, we were able to make that happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking to Anthony R. Howard, author of the book, The Invisible Enemy, Black Fox, and we're really talking about the changes in technology and surveillance in spying. And, Anthony, you alluded to this in your answer just there, and that is the technology that we now employ at U.S. airports, particularly facial recognition. Now, last year, there was a big flap about the scanners that puff a puff of air and scan your entire body and so forth, and that sort of deflected the public's attention from some of the more severe surveillance technology that's out there. Do you mind explaining what technology we're using at the airports today and how that has been helpful in our fight against terrorism?
Sure. So there's very advanced recognition software in some airports that can actually, once your face is loaded in there, now this is very different from what the TSA does. This is completely separate. The TSA, the body scanners, right, some of those airports do archive the images, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the cameras that are in the airport that are linked in to a storage area network, and the storage and the software algorithm can take an imprint of your face, and wherever you go, wherever terminal you go, if they need to find you, they can find you. If you come back a week later, the computer can find you. So if you are flagged, or you know, person ABC is flagged as a possible terrorist suspect, and he walks to an airport, they'll know. As we all know, the cameras all over airports, and that face recognition software can identify you, and help, you know, law enforcement apprehend you or find you wherever you are in the airport.
That's
very interesting stuff.
Very interesting stuff. Very controversial too. We'll have to have you back to talk about First Amendment rights versus freedom and of individual personal freedoms as well. We're talking to Anthony R. Howard, author of the book The Invisible Enemy, Black Fox. Anthony, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your expertise in technology or even the books, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
The easiest place would be AnthonyRHoward.com. Now, that'd be there's a lot of videos, free information, shows, blogs, a lot of great stuff. It's a great resource to learn about technology, how Bin Laden was captured, some of the advanced weapon systems, how they, you know, adapt weapons for each individual mission, such as the capture of Osama Bin Laden. But definitely AnthonyRHoward.com, or if you just Google Anthony R. Howard, a lot of good resources will come up.
Now, that is great. We have been talking to Anthony R. Howard, the author of the book, The Invisible Enemy, Black Fox. Anthony, it's a fascinating subject. Clearly, you're a subject matter expert. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
No problem. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.